The title of my sermon today is, What Are You Going to Do with the Gift? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to a time when I have the privilege and the honor to stand in front of your people here this morning and share your word. Lord, you shared this word with me all week. And Lord, I pray that I would give it justice as I share it with your people, because it was a great encouragement to me this week. And Lord, I just pray that it would touch each and every one of them that are here this morning, that they would see it as your word being shared through me, that I would be your spokesperson, and that you would use me and I would be the clay, and that you would form me to what you want me to be. Give me only the words that you would want me to speak, Lord. And we thank you. We ask that you would open up our hearts and souls to receive your word as well today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think of with Christmas? What do you think of? What's that? Stress. Absolutely, Christmas is a big stress giver. I will agree with that, because that's that one time of the year I have to go shopping, which is very stressful. What else do we think of with Christmas? Family. What else? The gift of Jesus. Trees. Lights, presents. And I ask these things a lot of times because I think if you get your mind starting to work, that you'll be engaged and be able to stay a little focused, a little better. The next question I have for you, and this will really tie into the message in the end. If you were to think of all the Christmas presents that you have ever given, and I want you to just think about this, what would be the greatest gift that you've ever given or that you've ever made? I know some of you are very creative and make things. Veronica is becoming quite the painter. She does a lot of artwork and painting. And, you know, I know a lot of you others create and make things as well. But just think, what is the best gift? Maybe not necessarily the most expensive gift, but what's that great gift that you gave to somebody at some time in your life? Maybe you were very young and you put a lot of time into something for your mom or your dad, and it was really special. And I just want you to think about that. And today, we're going to be looking at some of the Old Testament prophets and the prophecies that they told about Jesus coming. Jesus was prophesied by multiple Old Testament prophets. We're only going to be looking at two of those prophets today. The first one that we're going to look at is Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah makes a prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And we all know that that prophecy comes about. We read that. And oftentimes, maybe we've never really even thought about what's the big deal about that prophecy. But just to lay a little bit of light onto that prophecy, Micah was written between 742 and 687 BC. So you're looking at 700 years before Christ would come. God already had his plan that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem long before it ever took place. He shared that word with Micah. And even there, you still might think, well, so what? What's the big deal? And then you think, you know the story that Mary finally finds out she's going to have baby Jesus. And then Joseph receives that word from an angel as well. And then you might still think, okay, so they're going to have the Messiah. Mary and Joseph didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived somewhere estimated between 70 and 90 miles away from Bethlehem to the north. Why don't you think about that? 70 to 90 miles away. Now, many of you have either been pregnant yourself or your spouse has been pregnant. And I can tell you this, when it came to April and being close to delivering our girls, I really wouldn't have wanted to take a 90-mile trip in our car. I can't imagine taking my wife and saying, we're going to head up or head south and we're going to hike 70 to 90 miles while you're ready to have a child. I don't think they would have done it willingly. So why do they go to Bethlehem? Because they have to. God uses a pagan king, Caesar Augustus, to bring his plan together. God had a plan and it would be fulfilled. Whatever it was going to take, whether it was God using a king that had nothing to do with God. He didn't believe in God. He didn't love God. He wasn't trying to fulfill his purpose. But God's still going to use him. When God gives his plan, that is exactly what is going to happen. And God's plan was for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. And whatever God needed to do to get Mary to Bethlehem was going to happen. The next prophecy that we're going to look at, we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah is actually considered the messianic prophet. He has more to say about Jesus' coming than any other prophet in the Bible. And he is also referred to in the New Testament more than anybody else. But here in verse 7, Isaiah is called by God to go and talk to Ahaz. But Ahaz doesn't want to hear anything about God. This is a time while Israel is under attack because they have left God to the wayside. And these attacks are coming, and Ahaz is the king, and he is trying to use his own might and money to be able to get him through this. And we pick up in verse 12. It says, "But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." He tries to sound all religious and act like, oh, I don't want to tempt the Lord here. I don't want to ask for a sign. And Isaiah said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is around 720 AD, long before Emmanuel is born. God has a plan, and his timing is much different than ours. Because many that even believed in these prophecies really thought they were coming very soon, that this Messiah would come, because they are under bondage of all these other powers, the Assyrians, and they were under attack. The Babylonians as well had taken and overpowered them in these years to come. And they thought that the Messiah was going to come for them for that. Later on, the Romans take siege of them, and they think Jesus is going to come and save them from Rome. But we can see that God's timing is much different than ours. And his plan and his purposes are still going to be followed. The next prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, gives us a glimpse of who this child will be. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We see here in Isaiah just a small glimpse of what Jesus is going to be when he comes. He's going to be wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. We can start to see a glimpse of this Jesus that is going to come and that we know and we love. And Isaiah is just starting to predict this coming. In Isaiah 49, 1 through 7, you can also see that he calls the Messiah will come as a servant. Many people, when Jesus finally came, they completely forgot about Isaiah's prophecy that he'd be a servant because they thought he was going to be a king and be a ruler and break their bondage. But they knew by prophecy, if they really studied it, that he was going to come as a servant. And then we can get to the prophecy in Isaiah 53, reading verses 4 through 7 and 12. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wonderful for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 53 is a very encouraging chapter. I encourage you to all read that this week as we come up on Christmas. But this child that is given as a gift to the world. We see the prophecies of him coming in Bethlehem, that he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. We see the different characters of him. And here and in chapter 53, we see that one day he will be led like a sheep to the slaughter. He would not make a noise. He would not reject it. He would willingly carry that cross to die for you and for my sins. He willingly went to the cross to carry our transgressions so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Because we, just like sheep, have all went our own way. We went down roads that we weren't supposed to go down. We didn't follow God's word. We disobeyed. We broke his covenant. And that's why we needed the gift of Jesus that we celebrate on Christmas morning. But the preciousness of that gift is not really the baby. It's the life he lived and the cross that he bare for you and I. I asked you earlier about the greatest gift you ever gave or made for somebody for Christmas. And I thought of this for my own life, and I thought, probably the greatest gift that I have given on Christmas, it definitely wasn't the biggest gift I ever gave, and it definitely wasn't the most expensive gift I ever gave, but it was the gift that had the most meaning that I ever gave. Now, with Jesus, it cost God much because it cost him his only son. But the gift that I gave was much smaller. It didn't cost me a whole lot because I gave it when I was in college and I was very poor. I lived on Romanian noodles and hamburger helper that I would stretch out for a week about, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Just paying my bills was a hard enough endeavor, let alone buying a special Christmas gift. But I bought a ring and asked April to marry me that Christmas. And thinking about that, about marriage, and many of us have made that choice. You know, when I asked her to marry me and I gave her that ring, she could have responded to that in many different ways. She could have said to me, "I'm not going to take that little ring. It's not the one I want. That doesn't have a big enough diamond," or whatever the case may be. She could have just rejected it and said, "I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to marry you." She could have made another choice of, "Well, yeah, I'll take that ring. That's nice. It's got some value. I'll take that as a gift, but I don't want any of the other stuff to go with it." She could have taken the ring and said, "Yeah, we'll get married, but I don't want your last name," which is amazing to me how today that takes place. "Yeah, I'll marry you, but I don't want your name. I really don't want to commit to you. I don't want all the other stuff that goes along with it, but yeah, I'll marry you." Or she could have chosen, she did, to take the ring, take my name, and that we would become one. She can reap all the benefits of our marriage, being completely committed. Even when we face hard times, she still holds on to that gift that I gave many years ago. And now, to tie all this together, as we think this Christmas about the greatest gift, Jesus being born in Bethlehem, what are you going to do with that gift? We have the same options that April did on that day. We can look at baby Jesus that came in that manger, had no place in the inn, and was laid there because there was no room. And we can say, "Oh, that story's just so great, but I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want it. It's not good enough for me." That's the choice you can make. The next choice you can say is, "Oh, yeah, that sounds great. It's Christmas, and I'm going to celebrate Christmas, and it's coming up, and we're going to get together with family, and we're going to give gifts, and yeah, baby Jesus came." And we can accept it and not really change our lives at all. We can say, "Yeah, God sent baby Jesus, and I know all about it. I've heard this story from little on up." And yet it doesn't change us. That's an option that we have. We also have the option that we can say, "Yep, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to be saved, but I don't want anything else. I'll be good enough to just know it and claim that he's my Lord, but I'm really not going to live as he's the Lord of my life. Or we can make the final decision and say, I'm all in. It's all about baby Jesus. It's all about the life that he lived, the perfection that he had here on earth. And he went to a cross with my name on his mind because I'll never be good enough. Because I, like a sheep, went the wrong way. And I, standing before you as a sheep, have gone the wrong way and done wrong things. But yet Jesus still spread his arms out and said, I love you that much that I'm willing to die for you. How committed are you going to be for me? It's not just the baby. Oftentimes we think baby Jesus coming to Bethlehem, wrapped in that swaddling cloth, no room in the inn. The wise men come to give gifts. The shepherds came and seen baby Jesus. And how great and wonderful that story is. But that story is nothing without the cross. If we as Christians only worry about baby Jesus coming, there's no salvation in that. And Jesus only came to bring us salvation so that we could be forgiven. It's all about the cross. There's a song that's sung that says, it's a Christmas song, but it says it's all about the cross. Are you really 100% in? Is that who Jesus is to you? Or are you one of the other ones that you know it up here in your mind, but you really haven't left it get down here to your heart? Are you afraid about somebody else? I'm amazed when you go into stores and people are afraid, oh, should I say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or what should I do? What if they don't believe like I do? That's all the more reason you should be sharing your testimony of Merry Christmas. Because there is a dying world out there, dying to sin. And they can only be redeemed while they walk on this earth. When they draw their last breath, the decisions they have made will have consequences. And us as Christians inside these walls, are we really concerned about them on the outside that are lost and dying and going to hell? Even if they do know that we celebrate Christmas because baby Jesus came. But do they really know that he came to be our salvation? Are we committed 100%? Are we all in and willing to share that gift with the others that we come in contact with? Or are we just enough for ourselves? I challenge you with that. As the Christmas holiday comes, and as the year comes to a close, how committed are you? Does God take first place in your life? As we gather with family this holiday season, are we going to be busy talking about politics and everything that's wrong? Or are we going to talk about Jesus Christ that came to save every one of us? Or will we come and not really talk about anything and nobody's concerns and walk out and go home and be at the same spot as we were before? We don't know who has tomorrow, but I know who holds it in his hand. I have no control of tomorrow. I don't know if all of you will be here tomorrow, and neither do you. And you don't know how many of your loved ones will be here tomorrow or next week or next year. So it's all of the importance to make sure that they know that Jesus didn't come just as a baby. He came as a savior for you and me and for everyone else as well. And that's what we should be celebrating this Christmas. That's what we should be sharing with one another. Let us close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the precious gift of Jesus. Lord, you prophesied about him to come in the Old Testament, and all of your prophecies came true. You even told us that he was going to go to a cross and die for our sins, be sinless, but yet they were still going to crucify him. And he willingly went like a sheep to the slaughter because he loved each and every one of us. He had his name, our names on his mind as he suffered and died, as he bare all of our sins. Lord, I pray that we would not take that lightly. Lord, I pray that we would be here and say, here I am, Lord, send me to this dying world. Lord, as they might know that we celebrate Christmas because of you. But Lord, I pray that they would truly know why it is the greatest gift that was ever given. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that are here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give us safe travels as we leave this place. Lord, give us safety and give us a great week here as we celebrate your birth, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.